Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. Can you think of anything finer than wasting some online time with these two? Can you?
It's the kind of movie where the sword budget was higher than the pants budget.
You know what he is? He's Ray Romano, but dirtier.
It's a cat and mouse game, okay? The mouse's parents have been killed. The mouse has been raped. And the mouse's home has been burned to the ground. Now, guess who did all this?
The cat?
Yes.
Say that, friends. It's time for Movie BS. With Bear and Snyder.
Pitch me.
Pitch me.
Interqual.
Oh, the pants are too wet and they're too shiny.
Tom Cruise is what I would like to say, Crazy Cruise.
I'm going to change the story. Robert Pattinson killed a clown.
Sir, as you know, my unit is the very best.
Without these two, you won't have a clue which movies to see. So tune in every week. That's right! I said tune in weekly.
They're full of BS.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, the internet's only podcast. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder. Here with me is my co-host, Jeff Bayer.
Hello, everybody. I am Jeff Bear. That is Eric D. Snyder. And I hope you enjoyed Thanksgiving.
As you hear this, we are both stuffed with turkey. Actually, I guess by now we'd be digesting by the time you hear this.
Right.
Probably digesting and recovering from our
food
hangover.
On the couch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Watching football like bros do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have some Thanksgiving movies to talk about. Big Thanksgiving releases.
We do. But there's only one that's worth talking about because I only saw one.
You're right, but not for the reason that you think.
Oh, really? Oh, goodness.
The one we both saw.
Yes.
Creed. And as usual, it's a Hollywood cliche. Part 7 in the series is always the best one.
Always.
Like they always say. This, of course, is Rocky 7.
The franchise moves on.
The next generation. Apollo Creed's bastard son. Adonis Johnson. Adonis Donnie Johnson.
Yeah, Donnie is a weird... Like, every time they called him Donnie, I was like, you're not Adonis.
Yeah, that's not a boxer's name.
You are an Adonis, but you are not a Donnie.
Yeah. And he is Michael B. Jordan.
He is.
Terrific young actor, Michael B. Jordan.
One of the best.
Remind me, I can't remember at the very beginning of the movie, does he know that he was Apollo Creed's son? He never knew his father because he died before he was born. But did he know that that was his father, or did his stepmom tell him?
It felt like stepmom told him.
That's what I thought too, but I couldn't remember exactly. Either way, he sort of has a life on the street, having fights, foster homes, juvie and stuff. Yep. And then Mrs. Huxtable adopts him.
Which is everybody's dream. Mm-hmm. And the movie gets it right. Like
Felicia Rashad.
Right. And it is that thing of like, at first you're just kind of like, well, wait, what, why? Oh, this is sweet. And this is nice. And
this is Apollo Creed's widow, Marianne, who, it occurred to me later, the act of compassion of adopting her dead husband's love child to give him a good life. Like, you could make a whole movie just about that. Just about that.
The emotional struggle. Yeah. Right. And I would say right off the fact that this movie does a lovely job of taking its time and leaving a lot of emotions unsaid that you just definitely feel. Like that one in general. Like there was a couple of peppered lines, but otherwise it wasn't like the movie stopped and focused on the significance of
play
that.
Up what a hero she is for saving him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He grows up and he's got a decent sort of nondescript job, but he really wants to do, obviously, like most of us, is put on shorts and punch guys for money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can't blame him.
No.
Who wouldn't want that? It's a way for him to feel like he's connecting with the father he never knew.
And the father who died doing this, but yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Well, come on, you know.
I know. I hear you.
The night, even that, like, okay, I'm in such worship at this movie. Like, even that, the way that both he and then Rocky kind of talk but gloss over the fact that, like, you know, Apollo dies in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, don't do this. But, like, even Rocky, the boxer, he can't even, like, he can't get over that. He still wants to be in the ring at heart. Like, it is that thing where, you know, even though you see people next to you die from that thing that you love, it mm-hmm. doesn't stop you from doing it.
Yeah. Just you and I have seen so many of our friends die from meth overdoses. But still, every Saturday.
Oh, man. You can't ruin tradition just because of stuff like that. But yeah, when Rocky comes on screen, like, man, Stallone just nails this. Like, all right, so Rocky V is bad.
I feel like Rocky Stallone is finally settling into the character.
No, it's not settling into the character. It's like
it's been a while since we've seen him in a movie that was good in which he was not embarrassing.
It feels
like it's been a while anyway.
It's totally true. But like, yeah. And I felt like so Rocky Balboa does a good job of kind of
the movie Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. The movie Rocky Balboa does a good job erasing the taste that Rocky V left. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it does. Whereas Creed takes this to a quality level that like we haven't known since Rocky, and there will be for a lot of people. It's just like it's such quality with the boxing, with the training, with the use of reality. Like there's, I'm such a stickler with sports movies. Like when they use real people, real broadcasters or real TV shows, it just normally is just terrible. Like those people can't act, or they're doing it wrong, or they're showing film angles instead of like what a sports TV angle would actually be.
Yeah.
And this one nails that whole stuff like just great.
The people tend to remember the Rocky sequels, which makes sense because there's so many of them. And of course, 5 was terrible, and 4 and 3 weren't really very good. They're crowd pleasers, but they're full of dumb cliches and they're over the top and they're ridiculous.
Yeah. Yes,
we forget that the original Rocky was a very small and very sweet drama, more of a character thing than a boxing thing, and it kind of had a formula, but also didn't stick to it because a formula wouldn't have let Rocky lose at the end of the movie.
Right,
People tend to forget how different that the first one was, and this is the first one since that I think that really recaptures that. Rocky Balboa did as well, and this one now is more of the same.
This does such a fantastic job of capturing the idea of Rocky without the kind of superhero of Rocky what 3 and 4 did to that franchise.
Right, he didn't start as a superhero.
Right. It does great. And So Michael B. Jordan, he decides to move to Philly and he desperately tries to convince Rocky to train him through compassion and earnestness, and that's very nice to see. Mm-hmm. And then he's in an apartment building with is it Bianca?
His downstairs neighbor.
I really like Bianca. And here's the thing: this is how simple I am. It's played by Tessa Thompson, who is a singer, and then we learn she's got a little bit of an issue that pulls on the heartstrings. Mm-hmm. And like my mom started wearing hearing aids. I want to say when she was 40, pretty early on. And that thing is such in my wheelhouse for like, well, now I love this movie's for me.
Yeah.
This pulls on emotions that I've personally had and dealt with, and the sadness that's there, but like, look at her spirit and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's like another overboard moment.
She's really good.
Loving
the romantic subplot and this, and some of the stuff with Rocky's issues with aging. It's all thematically appropriate to the film, because the film is about like facing the past and we're all getting older and all that, but it also is what makes the movie feel a little overlong for me. I got a little impatient with some of that. Not bad, but just a little bit, just a touch of it. But then the movie Creed does follow a formula, which is not a problem, because it you know, no one's going to accuse this movie of reinventing the boxing movie, but it used the formula in a really elegant way. And Ryan Coogler is who wrote and directed it. Mm-hmm. He made Fruitvale Station, also with Michael B. Jordan. Fruitvale Station was a little ham-fisted. This is a lot more subtle, and he put some of his own touches on it. because it is the same formula as the original Rocky, this underdog, self-trained, going up against a pro. But now we have, you know, 40 years and six movies worth of history in between that inform this. And he doesn't go overboard on the references to the old movies. Nothing feels forced in. Very judicious use of references to specific past movies. And it's very well used when it does show up.
And by the way, there's some training montages, people.
There are training montages.
They are really good. They're really good training montages. And, man, even how they were smart enough to find a new side of Philadelphia to embrace with this movie, I thought that was fantastic, too. And it has a lot to do with just simply the location of the training gym. But that, like, there are a couple of, like, I'm getting goosebumps right now. Like, there are a couple of, like, yeah, let's do this. Because I love sports movies. I love boxing when it's fictitious. Mm-hmm. The idea of concussing another individual in real life is a little rough to take. But in the movie, you can cheer and enjoy all you want.
Right.
And this movie gives you so many opportunities to do that, I think.
There's one early match between Adonis and an opponent, and it's all shot in one unbroken take, and the camera's bobbing around like a third fighter in the ring. That's very cool.
Yep.
Very well done. And then the final match is very thrilling and bloody and exciting and gets your blood pumping. And there's a thing he says that I won't spoil, that Adonis says, that made me burst into tears. It was great.
I can't wait to see it again. It's a long movie, but I don't think I'm going to mind this length. I mean, we'll find out next time I see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is just a lot of stuff. And who is that? Who is that baseball player that just recently died? Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
I feel like Rocky, even though he's a fictitious character, has now replaced or filled that Yogi Berra void, where it's just like there's just Rocky-isms peppered throughout this. And it's the first time that Stallone has not gotten a story by or written by or screenplay credit for any Rocky movie.
That's true.
But it feels like people were able to elevate his lines for him, and he's just delivering it out of the park. I think we should all nominate him for everything, if at all possible, for supporting actor.
Okay.
It's ridiculous to say.
All right, you gave it a 10 out of 10. I give it an A-.
You gave it an A-?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you would have gone a little bit lower. That's exciting.
No, I didn't want you to yell at me.
I'm ready for like 20 more Creeds.
See, which is what you're going to get. And after, like, starting at Creed 3, where they bring in The Rock to play his opponent, they're all going to suck after that.
Oh, it's not
going to rue the day.
That's going to be the beginning of Creed 2, because then that's going to mimic Rocky 3 when Hulk Hogan plays Thunderlips in the beginning of the movie. So they're going to do that immediately.
I was equating The Rock with Mr. T.
Oh, see, I had him going Thunderlips.
Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah.
You don't want 30 more of these.
We don't know yet. Give me 30 more and let me decide.
Mm-hmm. Take my word for it.
All but two of them
will be terrible.
Give me more Creed.
You're the worst. You're what's wrong with America. All right, then a few others that you didn't see for various lame reasons.
Yeah, pretty much.
We don't even need to hear what they are. They're lame and various.
But they were the right decisions, I guess.
I don't argue that.
Well, you'll let me know, actually. Tell me more about the movies you saw, Eric.
Here we got The Good Dinosaur from Pixar. Those computer nerds that work over at Disney. It's the first time we've had two Pixar movies in 1 year.
I was going to say.
Yeah, because we didn't have any last year.
Oh.
So they got two this year.
So
the Good
sad.
Dinosaur
yeah?
was a troubled production.
It was?
It was. That's why the timing is all weird.
Oh, I didn't hear about any of those.
This was the one that was supposed to come out in 2014 and then didn't because they didn't like the direction it was going. They got a new director, redid the story. The story winds up being...
Dinosaurs are miserable to work with. Like, Lost World got lucky.
They are a lot of trouble.
I think I just said Lost World instead of Jurassic World.
I heard you. Yeah, you did say
that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We'll fix it in post.
Whew!
as the Good Dinosaur winds up with five story by credits, five different people like working separately. It got rewritten.
Oh my!
And then one of those is credited with the final screenplay. And it really, I think I would have picked up on that even if I didn't kind of know the story or the behind the scenes story. It's a story about dinosaurs. It begins with the asteroid missing the Earth, so the dinosaurs don't get wiped out.
Oh.
And then sometime later, there start to be other animals, you know, those between reptiles and mammal kind of animals. And it's got a family of dinosaurs with young Arlo. That's our hero, young Arlo. He and his family of dinosaurs are farmers. They're dinosaur farmers.
What? Mm-hmm.
By which I mean they are dinosaurs who farm, not farmers who farm dinosaurs. And yeah, they're out there using their – they're kind of like brontosauruses, kind of. They're okay. Using their heads to plow fields and then planting seeds and yeah. It's all weird. Right. I don't know. And then young Arlo, he wants to make a name for himself, wants to be heroic and brave like everyone in his family. And he gets separated from the family, gets lost, and he finds a little boy, a little feral man-child.
All right.
Very dog-like boy, and they become friends, and it's about Arlo trying to get back home again. And that's basically it. That's the story that took five people to come up with. It has some very peculiar elements. Some of the other dinosaurs they encounter, it's all set in what looks like kind of the American Southwest, like canyons and sagebrush and stuff. Okay. So some of the other dinosaurs, one of them is Sam Elliott, but he's got that Sam Elliott kind of cowboy voice.
Yeah.
So there's some of that.
Wait, is he amazing?
Sam Elliott is great. He has a great voice.
Okay.
And he was born to play a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
There.
I'll also say that it looks fantastic. It's some of the most photorealistic animation I've ever seen in my life. I literally dropped my jaw a couple of times. Where you could have easily convinced me that a lot of it was actual footage of the American Southwest with some cartoon dinosaurs put into it. It's amazing. Then the water in the river looks like real. Anyway, great job with that. But the story is kind of listless and it's not very funny. A few laughs here and there, but not terribly funny. It's a decent kids movie, but it's really subpar for Pixar. It's very run of the mill.
Do they get you to cry? Do they try to get you to cry?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it pulls the heartstrings a bit.
Okay.
I think for me, it's just too simple a story and not really focused thematically about what it's all about and not clever enough in the writing. And so it's okay. It'll pass the time. It gets a passing grade. It's a B-.
Okay.
But it's certainly bottom tier Pixar.
After removing Cars, Cars 2... Like, is it there already, or is it like, it's not, there's some others that are worse. You and I were both just okay with Brave, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wait, was Brave Pixar, or was that straight Disney?
It was Pixar.
Was it?
Because it was Pixar's first female lead, right?
Oh, that's right.
Something like
that. Yeah, I'd compare it to Brave, probably in quality, okay. I guess.
All right.
So, yeah, good dinosaur. And then Victor Frankenstein. Ooh, this movie's stupid.
Is it? I was kind of jazzed about this one. This is, Well,
then their Comic-Con presentation worked.
It totally did on me because all they did was like have lovely banter.
They're at the panel at Comic-Con.
Stage. Yeah, yeah. It was just like, yep. Yeah. These two together.
I'm sure they have great banter in real life. Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy.
When Max Landis isn't writing the words, everything's good.
Victor Frankenstein begins. Daniel Radcliffe plays Igor, and it starts with him narrating. He says, "You know this story," and so I thought,
"Oh no!"
what am I doing here?
This is your biggest.
Are you deliberately wasting
right
my time?
When the movie tells you, oh, you know this, but you don't.
Right. Well, it doesn't say, but you don't. This one just says, you know this story. And so I'm like, well, then why are you wasting my time? And then it turns out, no, I don't know the story because they changed it. They changed everything about it. And Igor is a circus freak. He's a circus hunchback who gets rescued by Victor Frankenstein. Not doctor yet. He's still in med school.
So is he like struggling with papers and stuff?
Yeah.
Like
popping caffeine pills.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Victor rescues Igor from the circus, gives him the name Igor, fixes his back problem.
Oh.
Turns out he's not a hunchback. He just had a big abscess on his back.
Ooh, is it gross? Like, do they like, is
Victor,
it really gross
Victor
when they
siphons
cut it
the pus out of it.
Oh, that's gross.
Mm-hmm. And one of his first projects is with a monkey. They electrify a monkey to bring it back to life.
Huh, nice.
Despite the pus siphoning and the electric monkey, it's not a good movie. I'm making it sound better than it is.
I'm hooked. I'm in. Where can I give my money?
Here's among the problems. And this seems like it's been the case with all of the reinventions of the last few years. Mm-hmm. They're always so aware of what they're reinventing and so self-referential and ironic that you can't take them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also not like thrilling or scary or horrific or anything. So you don't take it seriously in that way either. And there's a constable who thinks that Frankenstein has been stealing body parts, which of course he has. So there's that whole element of it.
Yeah.
There's a girl that Igor's in love with unnecessarily. It's just larded with lots of dumb, random tangents and subplots. And like the basic story of it would work, but it's just handled in such a sloppy, dumb way that you never take it seriously. It's not funny.
What's the pacing like?
It moves along.
Okay.
And it has its moments. James McAvoy, I like that he's trying to show the beginnings of a mad scientist. Like he's a little off the wall, but not totally bonkers yet.
Mm-hmm.
I like his enthusiasm. The girl that Igor loves is Jessica Brown Findlay from Downton Abbey. She's the one I like from Downton Abbey, the young Lady Sybil.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And yeah, that's about it. It's a D+.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Dumb.
I wasn't thinking D there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's, By the Sea by Angelina Jolie. She directed it, wrote and directed it. And she's a girl.
Well, I mean,
well,
like, didn't she probably get her husband to do?
Had to get her husband's permission.
Yeah.
Well, he had to be in. He's like, yes, you can make this movie if I can be in it to supervise you. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, and they play a married couple. It's the 70s-ish, and they go on vacation to this little French seaside town, and they're an unhappy couple.
Aww.
Yeah. Brad Roland, he's all right. He's a writer. He's struggling to write. His wife, Vanessa, she's unhappy. We gather that there is some kind of previous trauma or tragedy that has affected their marriage, and he drinks a lot. She lounges around the hotel and is surly and unhappy.
Is it pretty to look at?
More or less. Okay. The hint of intrigue comes when there's a newlywed couple also staying at the hotel in the room next to theirs, and there's a hole in the wall where Brad and Angelina can spy on them. And so Angelina is spending all her days just looking through the eye hole, spying on the newlyweds. But then that it doesn't become an intriguing sort of movie. It goes out of its way to be the kind of movie where nothing really does happen, where it's going to be about some affluent white people sitting around moaning about their lame problems.
Yeah.
And we do eventually find out, you know, what it was that made things go wrong, and it's what you thought it was, and there's nothing to it. And you keep waiting for there to be something to really grab you, either plot-wise or character-wise, and there isn't. The performances are fine. Like, they're really committed to it. It's just, it feels super long. It's just over 2 hours, and it feels very, very long because there's a lot of nothing happening.
Oof.
Just kind of a big, I'm not even sure what she was going for, but it isn't there. It's a C-.
All right.
By the Sea.
Wow. So I kind of was right.
So it turns out.
Only seen the best movie of the year, and not anything else.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good call.
Nice.
Now it's time for question of the week, isn't it?
It is.
For Thanksgiving, we asked you guys what movie family or group of characters would you like to spend Thanksgiving with?
This wasn't my answer. This wasn't my answer, but it should have been.
What?
Nick said the Muppets.
Yeah.
He says, although it's like, it could be a little dark because he says, our food would sing to us before the Swedish chef slaughters and cooks it.
Yeah.
Which is true. That's how they roll.
Mm-hmm.
But then sitting around with all the Muppets and eating.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
You'd also have the issue that I think the food would taste like felt.
Mm.
I don't know how that works in the Muppet world.
Well, maybe you could bring some of your own dishes.
There you go.
The Muppets, you know. You don't have to eat Muppets.
You don't have to eat Muppets.
True.
Andy says the Addams Family would be really entertaining, including a great reenactment of the first Thanksgiving. And they are such a loving family and welcoming to strangers. Plus, I'd want to see Thing walk around with olives on his fingers. Good call, Andy.
Della says Remy and Linguini from Ratatouille. No, because Ratatouille is not that entertaining.
But they would make good food. Mm-hmm. And also, it is that entertaining.
Nah,
that's not. It's not what movie characters do you that's watch right, their right. movie with.
You're right. You're right. That would be weird. You'd be actually watching with the character and be like, no, you're a character.
I would
here's the movie.
I would love to watch Anchorman with Ron Burgundy.
Be great. This is
he would never shut up the whole time.
That is
like, this is the best scene I did.
No, he wouldn't know. He wouldn't know that he did the scene. It's not a scene to him. It's his life.
His life. That's true.
You're explaining to Ron Burgundy that he's a character, and you're proving it by watching the movie.
That's very metaphysical.
Yeah.
Emily says the characters from Much Ado About Nothing, because the conversation would just sparkle, even though it would probably consist of many insults that I'd only get later. True.
Yeah, you'd have to video that Thanksgiving and rewatch it a few times.
Look up a lot of words later on.
Right,
yeah.
right, just to fully get it. Dustin says The Godfather. The food would be amazing. You'd get to hear juicy underworld gossip. Sonny would probably get drunk and try to fist fight the umbrella stand. It would be great. Just don't let Grandpa eat any oranges.
Mm.
There we go.
Donald, the Skywalkers. Really easy for them to pass the potatoes. Carving the turkey with the lightsaber is a cinch. But make sure to say grace, because Luke's dad will find your lack of faith disturbing.
So wait, in this situation...
This scenario.
Darth is at the table.
Yeah, like Luke. Anakin is there with his kids, Luke and Leia.
Oof.
Anakin and Padme and their kids, Luke and Leia. So this is definitely an alternate timeline for the Skywalkers.
Right. Yeah, there would be like a lot of tension, you would feel like.
Or not. Maybe in this alternate timeline, they're all together. Yeah. Maybe things worked out. Anakin didn't go to the dark side.
All right.
And they're
That's
all
nice.
Just a happy family of Skywalkers now.
I was thinking Ocean's 11 for a little bit.
Hmm.
Like, that'd be good. Yeah. Have all those guys hang out. Yeah. Julia Roberts there, too. But then I was like, no, it's easy. Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah?
Princess Bride.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
The problem with Ocean's 11 is that they'd all be more clever and witty than us. Like, you'd feel just like a spectator.
Yes.
You wouldn't feel like part of the group. You'd feel uncomfortable.
Oh, but I would want to.
You'd try really hard.
I'd swing and miss, and I would start, you're right, I don't want to have dinner with them.
You would feel uncomfortable, like, unbuttoning your pants because you're so full, because they're all so elegant and classy.
Oh, I know.
Like, you couldn't really relax around the Ocean's 11 crowd.
No.
Princess Bride, you could.
Princess Bride, yeah. They would make you feel very welcoming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just keep an eye on the goblets that don't get switched around.
Right.
Oh, Michelle said the Freeling family from Poltergeist. They seem pretty down to earth, and they seem like they'd be fun to hang out with. Plus, I bet they have some really good stories.
Oh, man. Have you ever been told a ghost story from a friend that, like, believes it? And you kind of like almost believe it because of their telling of it?
I have a friend who claims to have had several ghostly encounters. And
you're not buying it.
I'm I'm not sure, because this is a friend who kind of embellishes some stories anyway, and I'm not sure how much he believes it.
Okay.
But I think he does. But I don't know. Some of them sound my theology allows for the existence of spirits, so it's not totally beyond the realm of possibility for me that there might be a ghost. But in general, no.
For me, it's just there's not until there is.
Fair enough.
As far as ghosts go. But, something cool that happened in my house. Because, kids lived here, you know?
I look forward to getting to the part where this has anything to do with anything.
No, it has nothing to do with anything.
Go on.
I just noticed in a very kind of obvious spot some, pencil writing on the wall.
Oh, yeah?
That I hadn't noticed before. And it was the idea of, it's slowly, becoming visible. In other words, this is a ghost communicating kind of thing, a child ghost. And, there's words now on the wall that weren't there before. And that's how they're starting a communication with me. It's a nice, subtle thing. Who knows? Could be haunted. 1923 house. Could be haunted. You don't know.
Probably is haunted.
Probably.
I mean, odds are.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Dylan can have a new friend, blah, 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 solve mysteries.
Yeah. And then also, that's question of the week. Now, your question of the week for next week, this was suggested to us by Brandon. And the question is, what is your favorite use of a question as a plot or character point in a movie? For example.
I'd love some examples.
In Seven, what's in the box?
What's in the box?
Who is Kaiser Soze? Who is Harry Lime? From The Third Man, an old classic. Times where there were a question is at the center of a character or a movie plot and where the movie uses it well. That's what we want to know.
There you go. There's your
suggestions for some of the best or the most memorable of those. And you can email us, moviebspdx@gmail.com. And you can post it on Facebook. That's also a thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Just moviebs.com. Go there. You find stuff.
That's everything.
Go on.
And then we also have our new segment where people ask us questions. And here's a question that Katya asked us. She says, Jeff, before Eric, did you ever have any friends who were Mormon? And Eric, before Jeff, did you ever have any friends who were tall?
Oh. No, you're my first Mormon.
Nice.
You're definitely my first. I'm trying to think. No, 100%. You're my first Mormon.
Yeah. You must have known other Mormon kids, in high school. Probably not a ton in Iowa.
I know. I don't have the greatest memory and everything, but I don't. Nothing's sparking anything.
As far as you remember.
No. Yeah. N equals one. You are Mormon. I'm assuming all Mormons are exactly like you.
Pretty much. I'm pretty run of the mill as Mormons.
That's how stereotype that's how it works, people. It's that simple.
You usually need more than one example to start a stereotype.
One, there's your sample size.
I think you're wrong there. I think most stereotypes have a larger sample size.
It speeds up life. That's all I'm saying.
It makes it do that.
Pretty convenient to just go through life that way.
That's true. Yeah. I have had friends who were tall. And in fact, I realized you're what, 6'6"? Is that what you are?
Yeah.
I have a couple of friends who are that tall.
They say they are, or they are.
They are. You've met at least two of them. My friend Darren Tufts, who's at my 40th birthday party.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Josh is quite tall.
Yeah.
Who else was I thinking of that? Maybe those are the only two. I feel like there was another one. Somebody else I know that's that height. But in general, no. You're the main one.
Do I seem tall to you? Or are you used to it?
Well, I guess I'm used to it. Again, I guess you're the same height as my friend Josh, who I used to hang out with a lot. And so when I found out you were as tall as you are, that surprised me because, you're the same height as Josh, who I'm used to.
Okay.
So you seem tall, but not that tall.
Yeah.
But in fact, you are that tall. So, yeah. There you go. Thanks for asking those questions, Katya.
Yeah. I like questions. That's what this segment should be called. Jeff likes questions.
Well, we both like questions, not just Jeff.
Well, I seem to talk about liking it a little bit more than you.
Doesn't mean I don't like it.
Oh, wait, that's right. That's my thing. Just because you're the only one that talks about it, Jeff.
All right, now let's play a game. Let's play the time travel game. Jeff and Eric's Excellent Adventure.
Let's try to find out what we were doing in past Thanksgiving of yore.
This is fine, yeah. So we'll choose a year here from, let's say, 84 to the present.
Cool.
All right. Or to 5 years
present?
Ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or so we'll say 2010. Our year is 2001.
All right, sir.
So we'll look up Thanksgiving weekend 2001. Over at Box Office Mojo is the handiest place to find this sort of information, in case you're looking.
What are you, November 23rd through the 25th?
Let's see. Oh, yeah, you had Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Oh, the very first Harry Potter was 2001. That had come out the week before, like right before Thanksgiving.
It's doing really well.
Quite well. Yeah, yeah.
I think this is going to catch on, this Harry Potter thing.
Because here are the new films Thanksgiving weekend. Yikes. Spy Game. Remember that with Robert Redford and
Brad Pitt?
Which was a good pairing because Brad Pitt looks like a young Robert Redford. Right. I always thought that.
Well, because they had done
River Runs Through It.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and Black Knight.
Black Knight.
Do you remember Black Knight?
I never saw it. Yes, I remember it.
It was quite bad. Martin Lawrence. This is back when Martin Lawrence was just making a lot of just terrible, terrible movies. Like one a week, as I recall.
Hang on a second. Wait a minute. What?
What?
This is Out Cold?
I do not remember a movie called Out Cold, but I see it there on the list. Came out Thanksgiving weekend 2001.
Zach Galifianakis is in it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've got it here. Yeah. Maybe comedy, snowboarding, party guys.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what I wrote in my review. For heaven's sake, if you're just dying to see a movie about snowboarding and you think a guy getting his members stuck on a hot tub jet is hysterically funny, then run, don't walk to see Out Cold. There you go.
Definitely sounds like a movie that I would have seen in 2001.
It's a movie that I did see in 2001 and wrote a review of it. Yeah, Zach Galifianakis is in it.
He's barely in it, though, I think.
Yeah, David Koechner's in there. Yeah. That movie did not do well. What else is around here? Shallow Hal. Did you like Shallow Hal?
No.
I don't think that I really did either, and I wonder if it might be due for a reevaluation, maybe.
Yeah.
Domestic Disturbance. That was that dumb Vince Vaughn, John Travolta.
Oh, man, yeah. So wait, what did you... Okay, so what I definitely saw in the theater was Harry Potter, Monsters Inc., Spy Game.
List, yeah.
Shallow Hal.
I saw all of these. I wrote reviews of all these. 2001, okay. I was on it. Yeah. Heist. Is that the David Mamet one with Gene Hackman, Danny DeVito?
That was
Hayden Christensen.
Bridges, right?
Hayden Christensen was the kid. Kevin Kline.
Oh, it was Kevin Kline. That's right.
Mm-hmm. The one, is that Jet Li, I think? Yeah, Jet Li.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham.
Huh.
Amelie was playing K-Pax. I remember Harry Potter, of course, was the huge deal. This is the first one, 2001. Right. Ooh, and in a couple weeks, we were going to get the first Lord of the Rings, too.
Would you stop? No. You focus on this weekend.
We were going to. We were anticipating it.
Yeah.
We were looking
Did you read the books before the movie, Harry Potter?
Yeah. About a year earlier, I had started... listening to
I think what was CD. It was
the fourth one had just come out that year before the first movie, so I was caught up on the four books.
Okay.
When the first movie came out, all the rage that Harry Potter,
that was huge. It was a movement. It really was. I was
and
into it.
Well, and it was good because it got a lot of kids interested in black magic.
Yeah, it's really come a long way.
Nice. Ooh, this just in. Here's a question we've been asked by my friend Brett. He just texted me this message. He wants to know, this weekend, what should he see first? Creed, Spotlight, yes. Trumbo, or Brooklyn?
Oh, boy.
I know what you're going to say.
All right. So wait, what should he see first?
Meaning... Well, he just says, which should I see today? Creed, Spotlight, Trumbo, or Brooklyn? Not Trumbo. That would be the fourth of those.
If he's got... It sounds like he's going to be capable of seeing more than one movie this holiday weekend.
Right, right.
Right?
Probably.
I would say see Spotlight, and then later in the weekend see Creed.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
I'd go along with that.
That would be the order. Brooklyn's right there. Don't get me wrong.
Sure, sure. All right, I'll pass that along to him.
Yeah.
If you have any questions for us, feel free to text me. and we'll answer them on the show.
New segment. I'll give your phone out on Facebook.
And that's Jeff and Eric's Excellent Adventure, The Ghosts of Thanksgiving Past. That's the show then, right? We're done?
Yeah, sure. We're done. Right. Yeah, let's get out of here.
Hey, yeah. Here's what you should do. You should watch Creed because it's great.
Oh, it's so great.
And The Good Dinosaur is fine if you got kids what need entertaining. And you've seen the other things. And then Victor Frankenstein is dumb. And By the Sea is boring. Boring. Why are so many beautiful people so boring?
I don't know why we are. It's weird. It is an mm-hmm. odd thing mm-hmm. that we mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out when to rewatch Raging Bull so I can decide what's the best boxing movie of all time.
So that seems like a good job for you.
Because now it's in question because Creed is so good.
You should probably watch Creed again too.
Maybe I should do that. But my smile, just thinking about it, hasn't worn off yet, so I should let that happen.
Creed is indeed terrific. I agree.
It's so weird to love this movie so much. It feels like I got home and I was just like telling Lisa about it, and I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to be alone here, but like, it's on my end of the year list. Like, it's really fantastic. Oh,
I think it's on a lot of people's. I've seen lots of people on Twitter saying that.
Yes, yeah. Now I do. But it's that, you know, when you first do it and then you don't talk about it, you're like, nobody would say like, oh, I bet Rocky 7 will be on a lot of top lists.
No, you wouldn't have expected
nobody
that.
Nobody will say that.
True. Yeah. Question of the week. Tell us your favorite examples of movie questions. And we'll talk about those next time. And so for Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day.